Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Marcy Novella. Welcome to our Community Speaks, Real Talk, Real Solutions. That's once again, the love of our Community Speaks, Real Talk, Real Solutions. My first guest is an author. He goes by the name Gregory, but his author name is Charles Gregory Lassiter. Welcome to our
Hi,
show.
Marcy. How are you? How are you doing today?
I'm fine, and you? Glad
Fabulous.
to have you.
I'm retired, so I'm doing well.
You have this book that's educating our community. Please tell your audience what's the title of the book.
The title of my book is called The Wealth Code: Unleashing Your Financial Potential. Now, this book is a step-by-step program on how to acquire wealth. And I've had this in the last 10 years. I think I made about 7 or 8 millionaires with the steps that I put in this book. Now, I decided that after retirement, I would give back because I've been provided, the higher power has provided me throughout life with everything that I needed and wanted. So now I want to teach our community about financial literacy. And we think that, we're scared as a community, Black community, that we have no idea on the basic things when it comes to financial literacy. So, from writing a resume to opening a bank account, savings account, or et cetera. So I put it all in this book.
That sounds great, but I come from a finance background myself, so I would like to ask you a few questions pertaining to that, with not giving out the details of your book. I know you're an expert, but we don't want to give away the plot of your book. So just a few questions. How do you feel about financial literacy being taught to children? What age is the appropriate age?
I want to say a very young age, okay? When I say a young age, I want to say as young as 8. And but here's the thing. When you teach a young kid financial literacy, that's from how to write a resume. Well, not from much of a kid, but how to open up a bank account, how to write a check, that kind of thing. And but I find out, Marcy, that a lot of us in our community don't know anything about financial literacy. So that means you can't teach our young about financial literacy.
Well, that's perfectly understandable. I have, once again, a finance background, and I was a financial literacy after school teacher. And
Wow, that's
some of
right.
the things that was taught in the school was how to do a resume, how to do a business plan. And the age that we started was 5 years old, teaching them the value of money. What are the different currencies? And we also taught them the currencies in other countries
Oh,
so
absolutely.
they
That's
got to
awesome.
learn.
Absolutely. That's
To
awesome.
learn.
But you know what, Marcy? When you talk about resume, and that's important because given the job market now, I see a lot of people are out of jobs and they can't get a job. And I've run across in my career, I've had 19 companies, 204 employees in 4 countries. And I've seen hundreds of thousands of resumes. And I want to tell everybody, a resume is not your job description that you work in. A resume is supposed to say, how did you enhance the company that you work for? Now, I can tell you 90% of the people don't know how to write a resume. So let's start there. If you want to write a resume, you want to say, how did I make this company money? How did I enhance the company that I work for? Easy. Now, I know you watched a lot of res seen a lot of resumes, and every resume, I would say 9 out of 10 will state a job description.
Well, that's impressive. I didn't know that, but I guess what you're saying is that you gotta sell yourself.
Absolutely, because Marcy, when you send your resume, A HR person or CEO will get tons of resumes. Yours have to stand out from the cover letter to your actual resume. So, and that's where we run into, as adults, we run into a lot of problems. So how, if we don't know how to do it, how can we teach our young? And that's what
But
I cover in my book, The Wealth Code, unleashing all your financial potential, not just from a finance standpoint, but from a personal standpoint on how to conduct yourself with money, how to use money. Because we as Black people, we have a tendency to buy things. We are the largest consumer of stuff. And we, very few of us, own. So I'm trying to teach, in this book, I teach people what to do with their money, how to invest their money. Like for instance, little things like when I was in college, I learned when I used, I learned that the rich, how they would use their money, they would get buy a whole life insurance policy that accumulates some cash value. Now, after it accumulates cash value, you can borrow from it tax free. And if you don't pay yourself back, it just reduces the face value of the insurance policy. Now that's how the rich accumulate money. They use it, they use the cash value. One of the reasons they use the cash, one of the things they use the cash value in their life insurance policy to start, buy, or develop new things.
Well, I know that all people don't have the best financial setting. You mentioned,
Sorry,
and
guys, for my dog. Sorry about that. My dog. Sorry about that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
well, one of the terms that you use in your bio, you told me that people have to know the meaning of psychological aspect of finance. Can you
That's
explain
correct.
what that means?
The psychological aspect of finance. Okay, you have to understand the difference between being wealthy and being rich. Now, I'm not gonna, I don't want to get into it because it's in the book. I'll put it like this. The wealthy signs the richest paycheck. Now, who do you consider wealthy? You're looking at wealthy people. If you understand the hierarchy of how finances, you got the Medici's, you got the Catholic Church, and so on, entertainment. But you look at people like, people say, is Oprah Winfrey wealthy? She's acquired wealth. But to her, for her to acquire wealth, she still has someone signs her paycheck. I don't know about now, but in the beginning, you look at Microsoft, what's his name? Bill Gates. He's wealthy. You look at people like old money, like the Chases and people, Goldman Sachs and people like that who started to come. These are guys who sign people's paycheck. Those are wealthy people.
That's true. And how do you feel about people making more investments or just saving their money? Which one is the best approach?
Investment. Scared money doesn't make money. Okay. That's, I mean, saving money. I remember years ago, I used to laugh at 5% passbook savings. You're lucky to get 1% now. So I tell people, we as a community, we are so afraid of investing. And that blows my mind because, majority of our community, not the majority, but if you look at the working class, they spend money on stuff and they save money. Why not take a chance? People go out and buy their little
Here we
I'm sorry, go ahead.
no go ahead. Here we I'm saying nothing.
I didn't hear you.
I slid by here we
Here we
Right, bare hair weave, stuff like that. Things we're so caught up. We are, our community, we buy a lot of stuff and not invest in ourselves. When I say invest in ourselves, invest, we need to start leaving a legacy. A legacy. And like you say, people going out buying. I know I've seen people buy $800 sneakers that live in public housing that can't even pronounce
Right.
the sneakers, Balenciaga. I never understood that thought. You know, wealthy people, you would never see a wealthy person walking around showing that they carry Louis Vuitton or Gucci. You would never see that. You know, you would never see that ever. You know, rich people wealthy people don't want to know that you have money. Poor people want everybody to think they have money, which is to me is asinine. That blows my mind. Why I even when I buy a car, when the guys, what is it? The person put the company puts the thing on the back of the car, where the car came from. Take that off. You don't pay me to advertise for you. So why would I advertise for Gucci? Why would I advertise for Louis Vuitton or Balenciaga? Any of those people? They don't pay me. They don't even like black people. And I say that wholeheartedly. They don't like us, but yet we still patronize them.
Oh, I have a question from the audience.
Yes.
Rhonda Washington asks from South Carolina. Hold on, let me see what she said. How can I get the value to this company? I want to ha add this to my resume.
How can she get the value? I don't understand the question. Say that again. Read it again.
She said, how can get the value of her money to the company? She wants to add more to her resume.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm understanding that. How do she get the value of a company? Well, you know, if it's a public company, she can know. I know what she's saying. How can she, the company that she works for, how can she add value to it?
Okay.
That's what she said. Okay. Well, it's what you do, Vonda. It's what you do in the company. If you are the executive assistant to someone, then you have to add your value of what you bring to the company and how you have made that company better. You know, it's all a play on words, so to speak, but everybody brings value to a company because they're paying you a salary and they're making more money off of you than that they're paying you. So you are of value. You just have to figure out what your value is. Instead of going to work every day doing a monotonous job, you need to stand out. What I don't care what it is. I tell everybody, Marcy, I don't care what you do for a living. Be the best at it. I don't care if you're pushing a mob. Be the best. Be the best. Instead of, you know, people working out. I have I'm not gonna call this person's name. I went to school with people. I went to high school with some people that's worked for the government for 40 years. For 40 years doing the same thing. That right there, I mean, I guess if you want job security, that's okay. Never been my thing, but it will never get you anywhere higher than where you are. And that's just my opinion because I've always wanted, you don't have to aspire to be rich. You don't even have to aspire to be wealthy, but inspire yourself to do something, leave a legacy, for your family. You know, I have three daughters. You know, I tell one of my daughters run my yacht service. One of my daughters is an author. One of my daughters is model. And I'm like, guys, I am going to leave you. You can come work in my company. You know, come work in my company, and so on and so on. That's what other communities do. We don't. Why? Because we don't understand finance. We're scared. We can go out and buy stuff. We're scared to invest. We're scared to buy property. I don't understand. You know, why we're so afraid of money that, you know, we can spend it and we can buy things. Very few of us can save it, and definitely don't. Especially with this, where we are in society, everything is electronic. Crypto, crypto. You know, I was
How
never
did you
afraid of
get to
anything.
this point in your life?
I'm sorry.
How did you come to this point in your life? Did you have any mistakes and turn it
Oh, hey,
around?
Marcy, come on, girl. Did I
Tell
have
it.
any mistakes? Yeah. You know what? A setback is a setup for a great comeback. Now, I have made a lot of mistakes. I just did not wake up and here I am. No, I had to make some mistakes. And my claim to fame really was I'm from DC actually. I've been in New York 25 years, and My biggest thing is real estate. My biggest thing is real estate. And I tell people, if you're going to go into business yourself, and my whole, how I got where I am is controlling my infrastructure. Now, and they call it today vertical integration. Now, what does that mean? People are like, okay, I used to own a real estate company, and I was doing well, but my mortgage companies wouldn't give me, my investors would only give me so much money. They thought I was making too much money. So you know what I did? I started a mortgage company, started a real estate company, started a appraisal company, and I started a settlement company. So therefore, I controlled every aspect of my infrastructure. I mean, and a lot of us don't do that. One, we don't understand it. Two, we're too afraid of losing. You're gonna lose. If you don't lose, how can you know how to make, how can you get it right if you don't lose? I've lost. Oh my God, yeah. That's my ex-wife.
Wow. Mr. Tell it like it is.
Yeah, huh?
Yes.
Mr. Tell it like it is. Tell me what you think about that.
I think I need to get a loan from him first. You know what I'm saying? Because you talking about money a lot. But listen, I'm a hundredaire. I ain't no millionaire. I'm a hundredaire. You know what I'm saying? I got hundreds.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I have millions. You know what I'm saying?
No, and but I know brother, that. You do have, you're a millionaire. You just haven't cashed the check yet. You got
it. I'm eating on it. You were saying
it. You got it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I need you to say it. But the thing is, I hope that I know that Oprah Winfrey have a big show to get. I'm looking for my book under my chair, but I didn't get it yet.
Okay, I got you. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, but okay. You know, like I said, like what you're saying is good, you know, like what people are doing. You know, they're not capable of writing a check. Now, I don't write checks.
Right,
you know,
right. We don't live in that era anymore to write checks.
Right. Right, right, yeah.
You but you cash it, right?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I cash it. I cash it.
Yes, right, you cash it. Right.
Yeah,
but you know what it starts with? Mindset. We have to change our mindset. Now,
right.
The average person does not like change. We don't like change. Because why? We fear the unknown. You know what? There's only two things I fear in life: a snake and God. That's it. And that's essential, evil, you know, good and evil. Anything else, I'm not afraid to fail. I've been in the worst neighborhoods in the world. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of money. When I was in college, I went to Boston University, and I was one of 10 blacks that went there at the time in the 70s. And wow. I wouldn't go home for holidays. I played basketball and I played tennis and I skied on the teams. And I would go home with my white, really rich friends for holidays. And when I would go home with them, they would go out and party. I would hang out with their dad because their dads, their fathers were CFOs of IBM, Xerox at the time, those Fortune 500 companies. And that's how I learned about finance. I got two MBAs and a law degree. I wanted to master the art of finance, and I did. And mastering the art of finance is not being scared. You know, like I tell people, it's easier for you to go get a $500,000 house than to go to the bank and get $100 for them to loan you $100. And people are like, oh, that's crazy. You know why? $100 uncollateralized. A bank will give you a mortgage company will give you a mortgage for $500,000. You can, because they can take that back. That's collateral. See, understanding little things like that and changing your mindset. You know, I tell people, just because you live in a hood doesn't mean you always have to stay there. You know, change your mindset. Mindset, when it comes to finance, you have to change everything about the mind. Stop doing, people get caught up doing things so wrong for so long that they don't know how to do the right things.
So Gregory, let me ask you this. How did you come to the findings of learning about this? Do you have a financial degree, or this is just your life experience?
No. I got a BA. I got a bachelor's degree from Boston University. I have an MBA from American University, and I have another MBA from the University of Wales, Trinity St. David, and I have a law degree from Georgetown. Now, hold on.
All of that is finance?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Going to school, and I encourage everybody to get education, okay? A formal education, don't get me wrong. And I'm a pilot. I've been a pilot. I'm the only African American in the country. Yeah, I'm the only African American in the country that has a private jet service. Five jets and a helicopter. Grexjet.net. Go check it out. So what school does is it teaches you to get along in society. How I learned finance was once you understand the lingo of finance, once you understand, and it's not hard, understand. I used to read the Wall Street Journal at the age of 16. I didn't know what to read, but I figured it out. I figured out stocks and bonds because I used to be a stockbroker. I know puts and calls. I understood that. Now, I was self-taught that because, you know, once you understand the lingo, then you start understanding finance. And now no one taught me. So now it's my turn to teach people the little basics of finance. It's not hard. You just can't be scared.
Well, I wouldn't say scared, but in this day and time,
you don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of money.
People are taught to play it safe. And,
and that's why you have to change your mindset. Don't play it safe. Don't play it safe.
I recalled an older gentleman. We asked him a question. And that question was, what would be the criteria of finding a mate? And his response was, if you meet someone who doesn't have an established bank account, it doesn't matter how much, do not pursue an interest in that person, because that person has to be able to be established, even with a small amount of money. If he can't save, then he's not worthy of your time. What's your thoughts on that?
That's actually quite interesting, because there is some truth to that. Because
by the way, he said the only exception is if he's taking care of his parents and the money is going to them to help them out, there has to be a reason.
You know what? He's absolutely right in that sense, because think about this. If you understand finance and you understand the value of money and the value of self-worth, if you get with someone who doesn't understand that, they will ruin you.
Wow.
They will ruin you. Yeah. And that, just that simple, because you know, they say opposites attract, but if you don't understand the value of money, and I understand the value of money, what you're going to do is try to spend all my money. And I'm not going to let you bring down something that took me a lifetime to build. Period. He has the absolute, I've never looked at it that way, but he's absolutely right. He's absolutely, and I'm an older gentleman. I didn't even think about that.
Well, his response is, even if he's making minimum wage, just saving a little something for himself.
You can save, I don't care, you can save a dollar a week. If you have the mindset of saving something, if you have that mindset, then you're good. You're beginning to understand finance. You know, what's that saying? Poor people get a paycheck to buy stuff they can't afford. Middle class people buy things so they can pay off, so they can have good credit on things they can't afford. Rich people get things and invest their money back, you know, into something in their future. And that's just it. You know, think about it. The working class, poor people, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody got to start somewhere. But poor people buy things they can't afford. How are you going to live? Yeah. How are you going to live? Again, I'm not saying anything about people in public housing, but how are you living in public housing and pay $800 for a pair of sneakers or drive a Mercedes? Now, you know, we as Black people, we are so caught up into impressing one another. Come on. I just met a guy, one of my brothers, Mason brothers, this guy makes $2,100 a month And his car note 17.
Oh, wow. What are you driving?
Now, you know what he's driving? A
A
BMW
jet?
M Series. A BMW M
Oh,
Series.
yeah.
You know, I'm like, it doesn't make, you live in Manhattan to me. If you live in Manhattan, you really don't need a car. You know? But you know, I
Right.
mean, you know, people buy these cars. A car is a liability. A car is a liability. I mean, I do have a nice car because I had to go, I had, when I was working, going back and forth to the airport, like the nature of what I do, I had to have one. But now I don't, you know, I don't need, people want to buy a $100,000 car. Unless you're a car enthusiast, a car is a liability, straight up. You know,
You don't need a car.
buy
You
things.
need a car. Yeah. My bad. I said you don't need a car. You can fly a jet.
I can fly anything.
Yeah.
I can fly anything. But my point is this, is that, you know, we're trying to impress one another, and that we got to get out of that mindset. Impressing people, that's not, I don't believe in trying to impress anybody but myself. You know, and that's how we always are. Or you know, we're walking around with, you know, rich people will walk around looking bummy because they don't want people to know you have money. They have money. Poor people want to show everybody that they think they have money. That right there is an asinine mindset. I mean, you know, how many you ever seen really, really wealthy people walking around with a Louis Vuitton bag that says Louis Vuitton on it, or Gucci or Balenciaga or whomever? No, they don't do that stuff. No. Why should I advertise for people that don't even like my community? I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, I was out the other day watching this woman coming down the street. Oh, Mary J. Blige, walking up Madison Avenue. And Mary, I'm sure she's doing well for herself. You think about her, Louis Vuitton bag that said Louis Vuitton, everything Gucci outfit. I'm like, really? Really? Come on. We fit, stop fitting the stereotype. You know, that's what bugs me. We get a little bit of money, and all of a sudden we want to go buy this, and we want to go take these long trips. Not one person wants to talk about investment, crypto, things like insurance, you know, leaving a legacy. The faster we get it, the faster we get it, the more we want to spend. And when it comes to finance, you really have to change your mindset and really want to do it.
Well, how can a person recover like when they file bankrupt and have a new beginning? What do you
Okay.
say about that?
Okay. Bankruptcy these
You
days, bankruptcy these days is not a big deal. I tell people there's two types of bankruptcy. There's Chapter 11, which is reorganization, and Chapter 7, which is like, I want to start all over. It used to be 7 years. Now it's only two. Now,
got a
when you file bankruptcy, I tell people, see, people got them learning financing and learning about credit. You never have to file bankruptcy. You can threaten to file bankruptcy too. Say you got $100,000 worth of debt. You know, people are like, oh, I'm gonna file bankruptcy. You know what? No, get on the phone, write the letters to all your debtors, and say, listen, here's what I'm gonna pay you. If you don't accept it, then I'm gonna file bankruptcy. You're not gonna get anything. But trust me, that works. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the things that work. I mean,
Oh no.
huh? So
No,
and I, people don't understand. The government just passed a law a couple years ago about debt collecting. When you got a debt and it goes to collections, right? See, what happens is, say you got a let me see a Bloomingdale's charge, right? And you just stop paying on it, and a collection agency buys the debt, okay? And they try to put it on your credit report. And I tell people, if you want to get rid of that, it's simple. Call the company and says, listen, show me, send me where you, I gave you, I signed something to say I owe you that money. They can't, because they buy the debt pennies on a dollar. They can't put it on your credit report. People know little things like that. People don't know it. My book teaches you how to do things like that. How to maintain in the society we live in, how to get an 800 credit score. You know, I mean,
that's
it's that
beautiful.
easy. Yeah, it's that easy. And I tell people, it's not hard. You know, We as a community want what we call instant gratification. And, I used to walk through Harlem and I see a building sitting there for 10 years. And I see people hanging out in front of the building, not even thinking, oh, maybe we should get together and buy this building and make it a bodega or make it a restaurant. And the first thing they say, oh, first thing people say, oh, we don't have that money. We don't have that knowledge. But put it together. Five of us get together, want to buy some weed or some alcohol, it happens just like that. I mean, and then when somebody else from another ethnic group comes in and buy, we get mad. Really? That's the mindset that we have to change. We need to, one, take responsibility for ourselves. That's first. Nobody owes us anything. Yeah, slavery, blah, that all that happened. I get it. But now we got to take our own responsibility. You can't let anybody do something to you that you don't allow. That's all the way around. So somebody, like for instance, can I say, oh, she did this or he did that? No, you allowed that to happen. Take responsibility. When you change your mindset, change your mind, change yourself, change the world.
So the concept, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, is that realistic?
No, just trying to make a dollar. That's very much realistic. It's very
I'm
much realistic.
trying
Hey, look, think
What's
about this.
that?
Yes, you can you can make a dollar out of 15 cents. Let's say you can make a dollar out of a quarter, okay? Inflation. It's that it's you just have to stop and think. Like I used to run into like I'm gonna digress for a second. Young guys selling drugs that are good at it. You're good at it. You're making money at it. Think about that. Think about this. Change the product and use the same techniques.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm
So
saying?
you
If you're using it, apply the same marketing, apply the same hustle, just change the product.
now, Gregory, you told us so much great ideas. I need to dwell on just a moment on the negativity. And why I say that is you got some people out here, they're just trying to make ends meet. What kind of investment can they do when they just scraping two nickels against each other and trying to make it?
Well, you
What
know
do
what?
you say about those kind of person?
Okay, first, those type of people, they work, and don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing those kind of people. I don't like negative people. I stay away from negative people because negative sources kind of drain you of your positive energy. But people that are out here rubbing, just barely making it, stop. Stop for a second. Stop. Stop. Take a breath. Reevaluate your finances. Reevaluate your finances because something you can there's always that little thing that you can change. I don't care what it is, if you stop and reevaluate your whole situation, because we don't stop. All we know is go to work, take care of the kids, go back to work, do the same thing, the routine over and over again. Okay, when you're at home and you're tired laying in bed, 5 minutes. Pick up a damn book and read. How to better yourself. Then no, you don't have to be finance. How can I change my life? Self-improvement, that's where it starts. I want to change this way about me. I never understood someone waking up in a bad mood. Who somebody piss you off in the middle of the night while you were sleeping? How is it that you get on the subway? Now talk to me. What? It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Who pissed you off? Somebody pissed you off in your sleep? See, that kind of that's toxic. And then you got these people that get together, and they're all toxic. Stay away from them. Scott, I don't care who it is. My sister says something to me the other day. I'm like, you know what? Can't talk to you. Gotta go. See you later. That kind of thing. I'll cut you off in a heartbeat. Wouldn't even think twice. My daughter said some bad stuff to me. I'm like, oh, no, gotta go. Cut you off until you come to your senses. You
There
know,
you go.
you have to take care of you. You are that $1 trillion. Treat yourself like $1 trillion. Keep the negative forces away from you. Keep those people that the hardest thing I tell them, the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life is that on the come up, as we say, you have people that you grew up with. My best friend of since I was 8, we go back like car seats. And you know, friendships are never 50-50. Some give more than others, but we made a pact and said, you know, whoever make it gonna bring the other one. And at a point in life, I was like, damn, I am hustling, and my brother, my man, is just riding off of me. The hardest thing I had to do in my life is say, yo, dude, Demetrius, we're done, baby. We're done, because it doesn't make him a bad person. Like I tell people, people come into your life for a reason or a season, but some people are not equipped to go to the altitude that you're about to go. Doesn't make them bad people, but they're just not equipped to go where you're going, and you have to cut them off. Or they will bring you down.
But you
Enough.
can't cut off your family and some of
Yes, you
those
can.
same
What?
people.
Who can? Who can?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
They're
What?
gone.
Who? Why can't you?
They're
Why? You
gone.
know what? I didn't talk to my mom for 7 years. I talked to my mom all through college. I
What?
didn't. You know, I didn't talk to my mother, didn't come to my high school graduation, didn't come to my college graduation. But I had to get, once I got myself together, because, you know, all of us have gone through crazy stuff in our childhood. Okay. We've all had childhood traumas. Okay. But as an adult, we got to overcome and deal with those childhood traumas. We go through childhood traumas and spend adult life trying to deal with our childhood traumas. No. Once you get an adult, you can't let anybody hurt you. Can't let anybody hurt you. Oh, if you want to have a relationship, then we have a relationship on equal ground. You respect me, I respect you. I don't care who you are. If you can't respect me and I can't, we don't have mutual respect, I don't care who you are. We can't coexist, because then you become toxic to me. Then I let you hurt me. No, can't do that. And the hardest thing to do, even with family, family's the worst. Come on, guys. You
Yeah.
know,
But how do you
family is
cut
the
your mama
worst.
off?
Hey,
How do
look.
you cut your mama off?
Let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you a story real quick. Mom, I love you. If you're listening to this, my parents, my mom remarried, and she was living, her and her new husband living in Germany. So when they came back to America, they were like, Greg, you know what? We don't know where we're gonna stay, but here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to North Carolina, and we want you to buy a house, and we'll take care of the rent. And if we like it, we'll buy the house. If we don't, you can sell it. I'm like, cool, I'll do that for you. So I'm in my office. 6 months go by. Business partner walks in and says, Greg, they give me foreclosed on your house. I'm like, what? So I call my mom. I was like, oh, mom, you have a financial problem? Greg, I'm gonna go to Greece. I'll call you when I come back. I'm like, okay. Come back. Say, mom, what's going on? You guys have a financial? She goes, no, it's your money. You're rich. You pay for it. You owe me that. I'm like, hold on, girlfriend. Stop scared. No.
Wow.
I went and took them to court, right? Took them to court. The judge stood in front of me and goes, sir, 35 years I've been on the bench. Never seen anybody who wanted to evict their parents. But right is right. Right is
That's
right.
funny.
So he gave me the judgment. 2 weeks go by. Sheriff calls me and says, hey, you're going down there to evict your tenants, right? So I knock on the door with the sheriff. And here I am. You know what my mom did? Gave me that money. Gave me
Wow.
that money. She asked me to the day,
You bad
would
boy.
you have evicted, me? That you'll never know. But one thing I will never rent you a house ever again. So no. And people are like, would you evict your mom? I'm not even gonna say. I'm not even gonna say. But my point is, you never don't let anybody, I don't care who it is, hurt you. You're an adult. Accept people on your terms, man. You know, if you're trying to build, you get with people that are trying to do the same thing you do. And there's going to be people that, oh, you know what? Nah, okay, well, good. Cut them off. Cut them off. Cut them off.
Cut them
And that's why
off.
I
Cut them
say,
off.
cut them off. Like a bad habit. Like I tell people,
Ooh,
I tell people like this. I'm like,
cut
yo, cut them off. I mean, because
them
we as black people, we got a hard enough dealing with society. We don't need any more garbage coming in. You know, if you can't, if you're not on this train to build, I don't care what you're doing. If you're not a positive, you know what? Stay away from me. I don't care who you are. Stay away from me. I don't care. Because when you get toxicity, it poisons everything about you, your mind. You know, I'm fortunate enough, I don't know what depression is. I can't even imagine because I've never, you know, I can't, I wouldn't even, I don't have the luxury of feeling sorry for myself. And I tell people, we are the strongest individuals in the world. We've overcome so much adversity, you know, being poor, seriously. You know, half of the people that go through the half of other cultures that go through what we've gone through will kill themselves. So we are surviving and we're thriving. Let's take it to the next level. Easy. It's that easy. Buy the
But
book, people. Buy the
thank you,
book.
Gregory. You gave us so many sound things to think about.
Yes.
Please tell us where we could find your book.
Right now, I'm going. You guys, reach out to me. This will be on Amazon and all the distribution outlets in the next month. But if you want to, Marcy, your copy's coming this week. So you'll get this week. Reach out to me on social media. It's Charles Gregory Lasseter on Facebook. Every place else, I got a huge following on social media. It's usually Greg Lasseter in New York City on Instagram. Big TikTok fan, big TikTok community. Greg Lasseter in New York City
Are
on
you on X?
Nah, I don't do X. That's a whole story. I don't do X. And
Okay,
that's one of the
so
social medias I don't do because I'm not a fond. I don't like what's his name? Well, who owns it? I'm
okay.
not, he, you know, that I'm
No
not on X.
Trump.
Yeah, I'm not, no. Yeah, right.
Mr. Tell it like it is. Where could we find you on social media?
You can go to my Facebook page and find me on Mike Butler, Mr. Tell Like It Is. And you'll
Love it.
find me on there. And you know what I'm saying? But good, I heard Gregory in the grapevine that you, me and Marcy getting a book.
Hey, Mike, hit me up. Hit me up. Hey, look, hit me up on
Yes.
social media. Marcy, give me my information. I'll get you a book, Mike. No problem. No.
Give me a book,
I got you.
what you talking about? Because I'm gonna cut some people off. I'm starting. I'm gonna cut some people off. The first thing I'm gonna do, cut a lot of people off. You know?
And look, and you know what? That's the hardest thing you have to do when I say cut you, when to cut them off. And they will get it. Cut them off. Cut off like a
I'm gonna cut them
bad habit.
off.
Cut them off
I'm
like a.
gonna
And
look
Marcy,
too. I'm cutting.
give him all my information, and I'll make sure he gets a book as well.
Give me a book, because when you say, listen, I got penance, and I don't know how I'm gonna get rich without the penance. So,
Yeah, I can show you how
I
to
got
do
a lot
that.
of penance.
Hey, look,
I got a
I can,
lot of
you know,
penance.
I
I
can
got a
show
lot
you
of.
how to do that. You got two pennies,
Oh,
right? I can take two pennies
yeah.
and turn it to $1,000.
Good God Almighty, I got to find you quick. I got a lot of
Oh,
penance,
Mr.
man.
Tell It Like It Is is going to come to New York and do one of our shows, and then you'll get to meet
Right.
me in person.
Absolutely. And look,
I'm
and
a
when you come
mute.
to New York, I have a show called To the Point with Greg Lasseter. I would love to have both you guys on my show. It's in New York
Okay.
at my own TV station,
I
Greg's
thank
TV.
you.
All right. So, guys,
Thank you
it's been a
so
pleasure.
much
Been
for
a pleasure,
being a
Marcy.
part of my experience.
Right.
And I want to also thank both of you because this was a positive conversation.
Right,
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 right.
wasn't
Right.
trying to put anybody down, but it was a
Right, no.
realistic talk that we all
Right.
need to hear. So
That is
I
correct.
appreciate that. Gregory, one more time, tell everybody where they can find you on social media in the name of
Sure.
your book.
The name of the book is The Wealth Code: Unleash Your Financial Potential. It'll be out on all the distributors in like 2 weeks. You can find me on Facebook under Charles Gregory Lasseter, aka Greg Lasseter Fly Guy. On Instagram, Greg Lasseter, New York City. And on TikTok, Greg Lasseter, New York City as well. I'm not on X, but you know, you can find me. Just if you Google Greg Lasseter, you can find me.
Hey Greg,
And
I'm.
the
Hey Greg,
seller
I'm
like
gonna.
this.
Hey Greg, I'm coming. I'm gonna add you to our friends. But don't cut me off now, because
Okay.
I'm gonna see you. Thank you.
And Mr.
Okay,
Teller,
thank you,
like, just
man.
tell everyone to. Tell
I got
everyone
you.
once again.
Yeah, go to my Facebook page. Is a comedian, Michael Butler, Mr. Teller, like it is, and you find all my information.
Got you,
Thank
man.
you.
Got you.
Thank you.
Guys, it's been a pleasure, guys. It's been a pleasure, Marcy.
And
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I want to
I
thank all
appreciate
of
it.
you for
All
coming.
right.
As usual, I end this by saying thank you. Shout out to my family and friends that tuned in, and also Alvin Represents. Hashtag Alvin
All
Represents.
right. All right. And
Today is a
remember
great
this, guys.
day.
And
Today
remember
is a great
this. Remember this, guys. Shoot for the moon. If you miss, you're still among the stars, baby. I'm out.
day. You live. All right.
All right.